We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Good morning, and thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I appreciate you, and I hope you're having a wonderful 4th of July weekend. For me, it actually is the 4th of July as I record this, morning of the 4th. But I hope that by the time you hear this, it's gone and passed and was wonderful for you. I would argue 4th of July falling on a Friday is the best possible day for it to fall on. Because you don't want Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Because then you just get one random day off in the middle of the week, and that's not as cool as a three-day weekend. Mondays, I love a three-day weekend with a Monday. I do, because it gives you the opportunity to skip the Sunday scaries. However, I am going to say that this is an exception to that rule. 4th of July needs to be a day where I can have a few beers and not worry about waking up hungover the next day. And if it's a Monday, that exists, that worry exists about potentially waking up on Tuesday needing to go to work and regretting those couple of beers. Now, I say that like I'm a guy who's going to drink a few beers. The truth has been years since I really put a few back on a 4th of July, including today. I really don't foresee myself doing that. But for those of you who do imbibe, Friday's the best day. Because you get that you work Thursday, then you're out, then Friday's your party day, right? Family, friends, cookout, you do it all Friday. You have all day Saturday to do nothing. Saturday's your nothing day. Sunday is like a normal Sunday. You get the Sunday scaries. If you got any house projects, do it on Sunday. But you party Friday, you rest Saturday, and then you Sunday scary your way on Sunday. I think it's perfect. A few things I want to talk about today, including cooking. I do want to go over some menus and processes from a self-proclaimed, slightly above average home cook. What do you think? Am I giving myself too much credit? Not enough credit? I don't know. Slightly above average home cook. I feel like that's fair. But before we get to the menus, a couple quick things, little stories. First of all, news. Del Monte Foods has filed for bankruptcy, did I see? You know Del Monte. It's like the green bean, the cans of green beans and corn. I think they do a few other things. Filed for bankruptcy, which is terrible. We hate seeing that. We hate seeing any company struggle, big or small. Never want to see a business struggle. Also, I don't know if a can of green beans should be 79 cents. I'm just saying. It's 2025. I think consumers deserve fair prices. There's no doubt about that. I'm not asking any business out there whatsoever to gouge a customer. That's terrible. Gouging the consumer is a terrible, terrible thing. But at 79 cents, you got to be gouging yourself at that point. It, should anything really cost? It's like the post. Every time I see the mailman, I think about that joke. There's a comedian has a joke that's similar to what I'm saying about the Del Monte Foods. It's something along the lines of like, should it really cost me 39 cents to have you bring this piece of paper to California for me? Like, are you undercharging maybe? That's what I feel like with the Del Monte Foods. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, sometimes, look, pricing is very, very sensitive. Pricing, the only right answer to pricing, and I'm talking about, I'm in the supply chain, right, as a manufacturer. I'm talking about the farmer to the processors, to the brand owners, to the distributors, to the retailer, to the consumer. Like, everything needs to be fairly priced. That's the only right answer. There are two ways that pendulum can swing where things get out of hand, and it often swings, frankly, too often in the direction of the consumer getting screwed. where there's gouging going on, or at least, you know, perceived gouging, maybe not legally gouging, but, and then there's cases like this where I see Del Monte Foods where I go, I think maybe the pendulum swung in the other direction where they're just petrified to raise their prices because they're afraid they'll lose that shelf space. And so they just continue doing business at 79 cents a can. Like, at that point, you're not being fair to yourself as a business charging that little. And I think about this all the time, you know. You can go back and listen. I had a really good conversation with Kelly Metris from Salinas a couple of months ago on this podcast about that, about just finding the price that's fair to the consumer and fair to the business. Like, where is that? It's a hard thing to narrow in on. I don't know if it's 79 cents, Del Monte. Like, come on. Come in. You can get $1.29 for those all day. Anyway, speaking of beans, I was tagged a couple of times in a post by Calabresella's. If you don't know Calabresella's, legendary sub joint on the west side, Gates, where I do not go often enough by any means. I should definitely need to work that into more of my lunches, but for whatever reason, I miss it all the time. But every time I go, oh, why do I not come here more? But Calabresella's in Gates, where I always will owe a huge debt of gratitude because Dom, the owner of Calabresella's, posted our sauce. I shouldn't say posted, but put our sauce up on the counter way back in the day in 2014 when we first launched and got us noticed by the buyer at Wegmans, Dan Mezzapretti. Shout out to him. Always have a special place in my heart. Went for lunch at Calabresella's, saw the sauce, asked Dom his review. Dom gave it a glowing review, despite the fact that I doubt Dom had actually tried it, but I appreciate him saying the right thing at the right time and basically got us into Wegmans with that. And so I'll always owe a debt of gratitude to Calabresella's. Anyway, they did a post a week or two ago saying that they were working on bringing Grandma Brown's beans back. And if you follow me at all or any of my social media, you'll know I made a similar post a couple of years ago after I had had a couple phone conversations with Sandra Brown, the owner of Grandma Brown's. And then I had very quickly reversed track and said, you know, basically, like, she's not interested. And she wasn't at the time. She was not interested in giving up the recipe, the brand, even the equipment. She's got this machine there that's really required to be able to run beans well, or efficiently or safely for that matter. And she just, I said, I'll come to Mexico, by the way, Mexico, New York, not Mexico, Mexico, but I'll come to Mexico, New York. I will pick up that machine, drive back to my factory so I can make beans. And she just said, no, we're going to get back up and running. We're going to be making beans here. And I don't know if they have, I mean, that she's been saying that since 2020, right? Since COVID shut them down. I did more research into it. Truthfully speaking, as tempting as that is, it's really just not in our wheelhouse. We're a sauce company. We make sauces. We can maybe sometimes mess around with packaging sizes. Like, maybe we'll entertain doing smaller packages, larger packages, and maybe grow our competency there a little bit. But a completely different process, beans, far different than sauce when you're making them in an industrial setting, just really would probably have slowed us down to the point where you got to wonder if the squeeze is worth the juice. So long story short, ended up being a no. But Calabresella's says they're bringing back Grandma Brown's. Now, I'm not really clear on if what they're saying is that Grandma Brown's is back and that they're bringing it into their store, or if they're going to be making Grandma Brown's. I'm really not sure what they were trying to say there, but either way, that is exciting. A lot of people tagged me in it and were like, I'm sorry, you know, so sad that you're not doing this. And to them I say, don't be sad, that's fine. A, she was not interested in us doing it anyway, and B, we probably couldn't or wouldn't have done it even if she had been. So anyway, all right, a couple other quick things. Two quick ones, and then we'll go over the menu for 4th and 5th of July. Parenting issue. My son, Leo, shoved a penny into the credit card machine at Redbird Market. And so there is a lot of drama happening right now at my home while I record this podcast. At my home, or, you know, happening with my family, I should say, as I've snuck away to record this podcast. Ryan is very mad at him. He's, you know, he's wallowing sort of in his... regret, but he's also kind of being mean and calling names. And so we're just in this like parenting mess right now. And my suggestion, shout out to my mother, Patty Guglielmo, who made me do something similar when I was a little kid. But my suggestion was, let's bring him to Redbird Market and make him apologize to a couple of customers. I'm not saying he stands there for hours, just so he gets the idea. Like, let's bring him in, wait until some people come that he doesn't know, and make him apologize for breaking the credit card machine. And that might be enough to really sink it into his head. And I say that because that's what my mother had me do one time. I have stolen, well, I was going to say I've stolen twice in my life, but I've actually stolen three times in my life now that I think about it, because I stole just this week. And I cannot wait to tell you that story. I forgot. I didn't even have this on my notes. I completely forgot about this. But I stole twice in my life. One time when I was a little kid, I took a bag of rubber bands from a yarn store with my mother and put it in my pocket, and we walked out. And I was probably Leo's age, 6 years old, maybe seven, eight, something like that. And my mother found that, those rubber bands, and she brought me back to that store and she made me apologize. And man, if that doesn't burn it into your head to never steal. Second time I stole was I've talked about this before. It was something I wanted to do as a radio bit, and I went. Actually, maybe I shouldn't tell the story. You know what? I'm gonna skip the story. But long story short, on that story, I also didn't actually steal. I just kind of stole, and then went back and told them that I had stolen, and showed them how I had done it, and said I thought that I had found a flaw in their system. It was okay. I'll tell you. It was the records back. Do you remember back in the day with the like when you would go in to buy a CD at the mall? I wanted to experiment. Was it possible as you were walking out of the store? You know, you would go through the metal detectors that would go beep 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 if you stole something. I wanted to see if it was possible to walk out of the store, throw the CD up above the metal detector, and then catch it on the other side and get away with it. And I did. I did it, and I did get away with it. The thing did not go off. And then I walked back in the store and showed them. So I don't even know if that counts as stealing, because I didn't actually steal. I just tested their metal detectors without their permission. Oh, God, I don't know why I told that story. Okay, third time I stole was about 2 days ago when I went to Wegmans and I bought all my stuff for the 4th of July. And I did the automatic checkout. And I remember as I was checking out, scanning my stuff, that something in my head just wasn't, like, what was I missing? Like, I couldn't, something didn't seem right. Something just seemed off. And I kept pushing. I got to my car. I opened the trunk and I start unloading my groceries. And I realize as I get to the milk that I never scanned the milk. And I'm horrified. I'm like horrified. And so I walked back in. I walked up to the customer service desk. And I literally said, I go, I just accidentally stole 2 gallons of milk. Can you charge me for those, please? I was so embarrassed. Anyway, third story. And then we'll get to the menu, is I was supposed to go to the Fancy Food Show in New York City on Monday of this week. And I was even going to maybe do a podcast from there. And I was going to have stories to tell you about all these cool foods that I tried while I was there. And we showed up to the airport Monday morning for our 6 a.m. flight. 5 a.m. I get through the gate, walk back to my gate, and boom, delayed. First it says 7 a.m. I'm like, that ain't that bad. Then it says 10 a.m. Now, I was doing a hop, skip, and a jump. You know what that is? Hop, skip, and a jump is when you go to New York and back in the same day. So no baggage, no hotel, nothing. Just, you know, wheels up at 6 a.m. in Rochester, wheels down at 6 p.m. in Rochester. It was that easy. Just a one-day trip. And so I got there, met my team members, a couple of my people that work with me here at Craft Cannery. We're going to go to Fancy Food with me. 7 a.m. Now it says 10 a.m. At that point, I'm going, okay, this might not even be worth it to go anymore. By the time we actually land and get to downtown to the conference center, to Javits Center in Manhattan, we'll be, you know, we're going to be there 2-3 hours. It's time to go. So I said, any later than 10 a.m., we're not doing it. And sure enough, update, delayed, 12 p.m. That flight ended up taking off at 1:15 p.m. And no, we didn't go. Once it gets past 3 hours, as long as it's not an act of God, they owe you a full refund. So as soon as it did that, we took the full refund, which at 10 a.m. we were eligible for. So we were actually out of the airport by like 7:30 a.m. and just took the full refund because it was not an act of God. It was a maintenance issue. And I don't know if you've watched the news or followed airlines in the last year or so, but I wasn't excited about getting on a plane that was delayed due to a maintenance issue. All right. As promised, let's go over the menu. So first of all, I'm cooking tomorrow for like 25 people. That's the majority of what we'll talk about here. But I am cooking tonight for just my family. I'm doing burgers and dogs. And I just want to talk 2 seconds about burgers and dogs because it's overlooked. And the tip I got that blew my mind regarding burgers was that a few years ago, I was given the advice. Because I used to do this thing where I would get my meat and then I'd put a bunch of shit in my meat. I mean, just like seasonings, spices, herbs. I'd be mixing like, you know, chicken-based, beef-based, whatever in there. Just all kinds of shit. Just really, you know, unnecessarily sort of chucking my meat full of stuff. And what was happening more than deliciousness was I was getting, you know, meatloaf. Or I was getting like a hard brick of meat. Like it wasn't... You know, the dehydrated herbs were soaking up all the moisture. It just wasn't working. So a few years ago, guy tells me, and this was actually when I say guy tells me, no, I'm remembering this correctly. This was actually a TikTok video. It was a TikTok video where it was like, in 60 seconds, learn how LA's most popular burger food truck makes their burgers. And it's a chef, and it's a video, and the chef says, I'm going to show you the secret. Are you ready? 80-20 meat. He pulls up a little 80-20 meat, and it's, you know, it's right out of the grinder. You can still just see the lines in it, just like how you bought it from the grocery store. And he says, and I'm going to form it into a ball ever so slightly, just really gently. I actually want to, as I form it into a ball, I want to still be able to see the squiggly marks from the way it came out of the grinder. That's how gentle I want to be with this meat. Put it on my grill or my griddle or whatever, and then boom, one press down, hit it with salt. Hit it with pepper. Minute and a half, depends on how much you want it cooked. Flip it, minute and a half. 2 slices of cheese, 2 patties. So, you know, you're doing thin patties. So one patty on top of the other. Now you got cheese meat, boom, right onto the bun. Get yourself some good bread too, good bun. Bro, when I tell you, as simple as that is, it changed the game. Stop doing too much to your beef. Just freaking leave the beef alone, you know? Okay, real quick, menu for tomorrow, 25 people. Chicken, yes. Basic chicken barbecue, couple of tricks. When you make your marinade, which, by the way, your marinade, you do whatever you want. Usually it's something like 2 parts vinegar to 1 part oil, but really whatever you're thinking. A lot of vinegar, love a vinegar base. Dump a whole bunch of spices in there. You can't go wrong. If you're nervous about putting the wrong thing in there, put in like a bunch of poultry seasoning. That's kind of got everything in it. Or just Google poultry seasoning and see what's in poultry seasoning. And that's a pretty good tip on what should be going in there. But on top of that, you want your salt, you want your pepper, you want your garlic. And then the 2 secret ingredients are MSG, monosodium glutamate, just flavor enhancer. And then eggs. And eggs will just help help that chicken just be coated in that marinade. And then, boom, you're on the grill. Make sure you have a meat thermometer. Go medium heat. You don't want to overdo it here. And just pull those things, baby. The USDA will tell you it's 165 internal temperature. That is true. It is 165 internal temperature. However, that's for like an instantaneous cook. That means you can eat it right now. That's like if it gets to 165 for 1 second, it's safe to eat. Chicken, however, can be cooked to like 160, 155. It just has to hold longer. And I don't know those times off the top of my head because the truth is, just out of paranoia, I usually go right to 165 just to feel good about myself. But I think at 160, it's like, and don't quote me on this, you can Google this, but if you cook your chicken at 160, you have to keep it at 160 for like 2 minutes. If you do it to 155, it might be 4 minutes. And then I think you can go all the way down into maybe even 145. And that might be as long as, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that. Again, the temperatures and the times I just said, those are top of my head. Please Google those. But all I'm saying is all you hear about is internal cook temperature for chicken is 165. That's for instantaneous gratification. The lower temperatures can also be done just longer hold time. So I do go to 165, but then boom, get it off the grill. I understand it's going to raise a little bit from that point, but you're usually still getting a pretty tender chicken. So that's my secret there. Now, ribs, I'm going to try something new. Advice from Chef Steiny, my chef friend. I previously had always done rub the ribs, put them in the oven, couple hours, really low temperature, raise the temperature, go back into the oven for another half hour after re-rubbing, maybe even saucing at this point, and get that meat temperature up to 195, 200, and that's what's going to really help it become a fall-off-the-bone situation, and then go to your grill for a last-minute sear, you know, 2 minutes each side real quick. I always had a hard time kind of handling the ribs, though, getting them onto the grill. They, you know, if I had properly achieved that fall-off-the-bone status, it was actually hard to get them on the grill and back off the grill because they were close to falling apart. So Chef Steiny, John Steinhoff, gave me the advice. By the way, Chef Steiny is a chef that we've hired to work here at Craft Cannery a couple of days a week. He's helping us with a lot of research and development on new recipes, and he's a former Wegmans corporate chef. He was there for 26 years. Prior to that, worked in restaurants, country clubs, things like that. A lot of experience, great dude, very talented, and he gave me this advice. I'm going to try this for the first time, okay? Do the sear first. So take your raw ribs, rub them, whatever you want to do to them, get them on the grill. Get them a couple minutes each side on the grill. You know, get your sear. Then go into a big pan, pot, whatever, baking dish, and just bury them in sauce. And in this case, we talked about a couple different sauces. We talked about a barbecue sauce. Maybe it's half barbecue sauce, half beer. We talked about like a sweet and sour sauce. Maybe it's half sweet and sour, half cider. We talked about a mustard-based sauce. Maybe it's half mustard, half like chicken base or something like that, or beef base, whatever. And submerge those ribs in that sauce. Like, I mean, a ton of it. And then go into the oven, 350 for a couple hours. And once it gets to about 200 internal, you will really see that fall off the bone situation happen. And boy, I just think that's brilliant, you know? I just think that's brilliant. I'm going to try it. We'll see. I'll let you know. Dogs and burgers for the kids, of course. Sides, I'm doing beans. I'm going to do some French fries and mac and cheese. These are easy. Beans, I cheat. I buy the big-ass cans of Bush's baked beans, put them in a baking dish, and then I'll add bacon, I'll add sugar, I'll add, some onion, like just kind of just beef them up, but really just straight up cheating there. French fries, take the potatoes, I'll slice them, turn them into French fries earlier in the day, put them in a bucket with some water, change that water a couple times, maybe once an hour for a couple of hours, and then let them dry and eventually refrigerate if you can, if you got the space. And eventually I want to bake those maybe 10, 15 minutes, just a bit of a par cook. Then finally I'm going to take my oil up to temperature 350, maybe half beef tallow, half peanut oil, and just do a quick 3-4 minute fry. Really just go on eyesight at this point. They're baked through. The frying is just helping you get them perfect and crispy. And then, you know, just salt the shit out of them after that. It's really not a big secret on French fries. And then finally, mac and cheese. Make your elbows, then make yourself a cheese sauce. Little roux, butter, flour. Start melting some cheese in there. I'll go cheddar, Monterey Jack, and probably a little Parmesan. Mix that all together. Put a baking dish. And then on top, sprinkle some breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs you just maybe want to do for a minute in a skillet real quick. Kind of cook them and then sprinkle them on top. That'll give you crunch in the oven. That's it. Boom. Whole menu. Slightly above average home cook. Wishing you a happy 4th of July. I know you've already experienced it, but I'm about to go experience it. Wish me luck. Woohoo! See you next week.